Welcome to the Trending Show. Here's your host, Mike Quackenbush.
Thank you for that explosive introduction, Jim. Yes, I am Mike Quackenbush, here to tell you about all the things trending from the last 7 days. Well, not really. I often skip the weekend stories because it's all pro sports and that tests my patience. So let's start with Monday, okay? Monday inexplicably saw Brittany Murphy trending again. You may be relieved to know that she remains dead at press time. George Zimmerman, who is my least favorite recurring character on this show whose name does not rhyme with Riley Virus, was also trending on Monday because he is alive and recently incarcerated. Zimmerman, who has lost no weight since I last had to gaze upon him, is followed around by a team from CNN, who really posted this on CNN.com on November 20th. Quote, "A Florida judge on Tuesday set bail for George Zimmerman at $9,000 and ordered a number of conditions for his freedom, including that he not possess weapons, while he awaits trial on charges he pointed a shotgun at his girlfriend. He was released from the John E. Polk Correction Facility on Tuesday afternoon. He didn't speak with the media. It was unclear where he was headed." End quote. You're the team that CNN assigned to stalk George Zimmerman, and with all the resources at the disposal of this billion-dollar news conglomerate, which operates news bureaus all over the planet, you couldn't figure out where he was headed next? You know, by following him? The article then continued for another staggering 3,800 words, which I didn't read. Tuesday saw David Blaine's career pull a real magic trick as he was trending for the first time since his 2008 Dive of Death stunt. Blaine, a Puerto Rican Jew that likes misdirection, is friends with lots of famous people and likes to practice his stuff while they watch. 90 minutes of this was compiled into David Blaine's Real or Magic special on ABC, which won its time slot and boosted the sagging ABC network to its best numbers so far this season. What's trending with me?
Oh, thanks for asking.
You know, every time I get caught up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. using ABC On Demand, I see a promo for the AMAs. That's the American Music Awards. How exactly these are different from the Billboard Music Awards, the Country Music Awards, the Music Video Awards, the YouTube Music Awards, or the Grammys, I can't really say. They are all roughly the same thing, as best as I can discern. But this year, the AMAs, which will have occurred by the time this is published, are being hosted by Pitbull, the American rapper. I've seen the same promo with Pitbull pushing the show that is the biggest night in music. You know, just like all the other biggest nights in music on other channels. This turns me off, because I know right away someone is lying to me, and I know it's Pitbull. The VMAs, CMAs, BMAs, AMAs, and all these other shows claiming to be the biggest night in music? False. One of you can be biggest. That's how a superlative works. And the rest of you are all liars. Now, I really don't know who is top dog. See what I did there? But I'm not inclined to believe Pitbull, because each of these promos ABC is airing for their music award show contains this bit of lazy promotional copy that Pitbull recites. Quote, "It's the night anything can happen, and I mean anything." End quote. This is a lie, this is lazy, and it insults me. Even if I had any clue who Florida Georgia Line, Imagine Dragons, or Lady Gaga is, I will not watch this in protest of the Pitbull promo pieces. November 24th is not the night anything can happen, and it certainly wouldn't be happening on ABC, makers of The Goldbergs. Who is hooked by this? Who hasn't heard this exact same claim a million other meaningless times? Pitbull, you're a liar. And if we were in the same town, I'd say it to your face while respecting the parameters of our restraining order. When Pitbull says, "and I mean anything," anything is exactly this. Some good musical performances, some bad ones. Some awards to deserving recipients, some to undeserving ones. Some people dressed sharply, some dressed like idiots. That's it. You can almost bank on something stupid involving Miley Cyrus. They could probably promote that openly and feel safe. But who is sitting at home thinking, "Well, if Pitbull says anything can happen, I believe him." A guy on Twitter said that President Obama and Bat Kid are going to sing Ebony and Ivory as a bossa nova, then drive to the iTunes store in a flaming Tesla and buy indulgences for their sins with bitcoins from the life model decoy of Steve Jobs. And he means anything. Pitbull came back around at the end to affirm that he really meant anything. So plausibility isn't even a concern. I'm only limited to the scope of my imagination because of how open-ended that is. While the credits on the AMAs are rolling, there's an inserted bonus scene where Taylor Swift puts on the Infinity Gauntlet and reshapes reality to eliminate all those bad breakups she's had to endure during her really troubled 4 years as a superstar gazillionaire. In the post-credits scene, Thanos Swift confronts the crazy cat lady slash Uber driver serial killer from Trending Show 123. Infinity Gems versus Cracked Tin of Meowmix. Fight! This week's Trending Show is brought to you by Cobra Electronics, our long-standing sponsors and patrons of the podcasting arts. They know great content when they hear it. That's why they've sponsored my shows, including this one and the Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe, for all of 2013. And I want to show them how grateful we are for Cobra making this a free podcast for all of us to enjoy. So, Trendies, send out a tweet and mention you heard about Cobra on this show. They are at Cobra Electronic in the singular. Thanks. Wednesday was a huge day for Xbox One, the new console from Microsoft that has landed in the hearts and minds of gamers everywhere, just a week after the launch of Sony's PlayStation 4. Thus begins the new console wars just in time for Christmas, and Nintendo is nowhere to be found. The Wii U is seeing even less mainstream interest than its predecessor, the Wii. Of roughly equal importance on Wednesday was Catching Fire. That's the new movie in the Hunger Games franchise, which stormed onto North American screens in the past few days. It's doing well at the box office and on Rotten Tomatoes, where it currently holds an 89% approval rating. Similar interest for Sylvia Brown, the author and psychic, who died of lethal exposure to animal print, and Adam Levine, lead singer of Maroon 5, who was named the sexiest man alive by People magazine. The first link I found for this story was on the New York Daily News website, which hides everything after the header and first paragraph behind a paywall. So all the in-depth coverage about Adam's sexiness and the objective criteria by which this award is bestowed will remain forever unknown to me. The page in question contained two banner ads for Bertucci's restaurant, Viva New York, whatever that is, and Espinova, the once daily carboxylic acid. Are these guys not kicking in enough to lift the paywall and allow me access to the slideshow of Adam Levine staring blankly on the set of The Voice? I mean, I understand big pharmaceuticals and the Italian mob being tight with CPM rates, but come on. Viva New York, whatever you are, pick up the slack. JFK trending was not that big of a surprise, given the 50th anniversary of his splattering, but I was surprised to see Charles Manson as the top trend of Thursday. You know, it must be a slow internet day when Winamp is also trending. But an article on Charles, father of musician Marilyn, claims that he is commitment-phobic. Manson, the revolting excuse for a human being who sports a swastika on his forehead and an utter disregard for any kind of hygiene, has refused to marry his prison girlfriend, a 25-year-old named Star. Navigating the sewers of humanity is nothing new to Rolling Stone magazine, who published the piece, as they have grown rather content in their positions as purveyors of populist trash. Earlier this year, their sales doubled for an issue that spotlighted the Boston bomber on the cover. Rolling Stone elected not to comment on the rumor that next year they will have an award show for rapists and human traffickers. By elected not to comment, I mean blocked me on Twitter. The comment I see repeated most on the sites that syndicated this story was, "Why is this 25-year-old girl with him? There's nothing wrong with her." Ah, except for the fact that she's in prison and is clearly f***ed in the head. You know how I know this? She's into Charles Manson, the most notorious convicted killer in our nation's history. He makes the dumpster diver working the recycling bottle angle behind my local Applebee's look like Adam Levine. Nothing wrong with her? Let me put that through the internet translation machine here. Everything wrong with her except her normal appearance. That's what you meant. People are so dumb. Let's instead focus on someone of rare intelligence and grace, shall we? Sparker29 is just such a person. This is true because Sparker29 left me a 5-star review in the iTunes store saying, "The trending show is funny, informative, strange, and interesting." Sparker29, you should take over writing promotional copy for ABC. At least then they'd have a trustworthy, straightforward cat on their team. And if you need a letter of recommendation, Sparker29, you just let me know. As the week drew to a close, the Day of the Doctor drew near. That's the 76-minute Doctor Who special commemorating the 50th anniversary of the venerable British sci-fi series. I am American, and Doctor Who, which is so gosh darn English, has always eluded me. As a kid, I thought Doctor Who was like a bad ripoff of Doctor Strange, the Sorcerer Supreme of Marvel Comics. Every Sunday, Doctor Who would be on the local PBS station in my hometown, and the episodes were all shot on that somehow cheaper film stock that immediately alerted you that you were watching a BBC production, and featured bad guy robots and monsters that seemed to be rejects from Sid and Marty Krofft's Electra Woman and Dinah Girl. Speaking of, and since it will probably never come up again, if you are a fan of Electra Woman and Dinah Girl, YouTube, Electra Woman and Dinah Girl unaired 2001 pilot. And you can thank me later. Anyway, Doctor Who was a steaming pile. It went away in 1989. Then the series came back in 2005 and started to pick up new steam, no pun intended. I've seen none of this new Doctor Who, but I know people love it. It's bigger now than ever before. Chances are, it's right up my alley, cheaper film stock notwithstanding. But I just can't give it a chance. Then, while reading about why Doctor Who was trending on Friday, I was surprised to learn that the series' showrunner and head writer is Stephen Moffat, and it clicked in my brain. Stephen wrote the BBC sitcom Coupling, which is devilishly ingenious. It is a delight to watch and rewatch, and there's some fun new bit to be discovered in every episode of the first three seasons of Coupling. We're not going to talk about the fourth season where Jeff gets replaced with the new character Oliver, okay? But Coupling is, pardon my English, bloody brilliant. And if the guy that wrote all of those is the guy now writing Doctor Who, I guess I should really belly up to the bar and have some. The Day of the Doctor, shown simultaneously in 94 countries, has entered the Guinness Book of World Records for largest global simulcast. And to cover the rest of the bases from Friday, Michael Wiener has died, Colleen Ritzer remains dead, Lamar Odometer might be drunk but isn't high, Aaron Carter has been body-snatched by a sentient scarecrow, Xbox One has sold out, Derek Rose has wilted, John F. Kennedy is really, really dead. Friday's other trending story was that of Jordan Feldstein, the brother of Jonah Hill, who married Francesca Eastwood, the daughter of Clint Eastwood. There's not much more to be said here. Maybe that's what is driving interest in the story. These people are not famous in and of themselves. They're in the periphery of fame. They wed in secret. Why? Who knows? These people are not exactly celebrities. They see celebrities at Thanksgiving dinner, though. Most of the stories contained no more info than what I just told you, and the comments that followed seemed to center on the fact that one of these non-celebrities is a whole lot less attractive than the other non-celebrity. 100,000 people searched Jordan Feldstein's name to find out more. So I guess your union has produced a day's worth of internet celebrity for you. Congrats, you crazy kids. Oops, Jordan is 35. Before another trending show is released, expect me to team up with Fox and Friends host Clayton Morris to make an all-new Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe. That's the pattern, after all. I make one of these, then I make one of those. Meanwhile, you're going to tell all your Twitter followers about the trending show, right? That is your sacred mission for the month of November, loyal trendies. All right, I'm out of here. Adios, amigos.